This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I remember syrup
sandwiches and crumb allowances. Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, 50,000 watts. You can also listen on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. You can follow me on Twitter at Brad K. Porter. Jed Marshall is here. Follow him at JedRow24. We are live in the Rally House studios, and we're set to talk momentarily with Nate Taylor from The Athletic KC about the Chiefs' cuts and what we expect going forward. The roster changes, I'm sure, will be made during the week. So we only talked about this a little bit in the first hour because we were pretty heavy on college football. And at some point during the show, I'm going to play that Nick Saban clip from last night, which he embarrassed himself. Should we do that? Okay, let's hold off on the Chiefs for just a second. So we talked a lot of college football in the first hour. And if you don't know the scores, Mizzou won over UT Martin 51-14. K-State won over South Dakota 27-24. Had to score late to get that lead. And KU lost in overtime at home to Nichols. Not a good shoe. Paid Nichols $450,000 to come to Lawrence and beat the Jayhawks. So I was looking around at other big games from yesterday, and there were a handful of decent games, also some blowouts. So Nick Saban has been playing this song and dance routine over the last couple of weeks. I'm not naming a starting quarterback, or they're both going to play. That's fine. Great, do what you want. He's got Tua, and I trip over his name every time. He's got Tua, and then he's got Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has won a ton of games. Tua came in and rescued a national championship game. Either one, I'm good. I don't care. I don't care who Nick Saban starts at quarterback. But people in Tuscaloosa do. Alabama fans do care who's going to start. So after the game, which was a blowout win, it was a meaningless game for Alabama. After the game, Maria Taylor from ESPN, who was on the big pregame show yesterday and then flew down to Tuscaloosa to do the postgame stuff and the sideline stuff for ESPN. Maria Taylor's one of the best in the business. I'm just going to tell you that up front. She just is. And she's like most of the ESPN reporters. She's very nice to local reporters. I think Kenitra Pulliams interviewed her before a KU basketball game last year. Nice person. Great. Solid reporter. Super talented. So she is interviewing Nick Saban and asks this question.
Did you have about your quarterbacks after watching both of them play tonight?
Well, I still like both guys. I think both guys are good players. I think both guys can help our team. All right, so why do you continually try to get me to say something that doesn't respect one of them? I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Nick Saban, professional horse's ass. What kind of an answer is that? So what do you think of the Maria Taylor? Again, ridiculously talented. Asked the question anybody else would have asked. Anybody. What do you think of the quarterback situation after the first game? I'm tired of you asking that question. You want me to say something that doesn't respect one of the quarterbacks. She didn't say that. She didn't say that. Nobody wants Nick Saban to say something that doesn't respect one of his two quarterbacks. My God. Really? You have how many national championships? You have two good quarterbacks? Yeah, five national titles. You got two quarterbacks. First of all, to have one, they haven't really had a good one. I don't count some of their quarterbacks as all that great. And two pretty good quarterbacks. People just want to know your thoughts. Nick Saban, what do you think of your quarterbacks? I'm not going to say something that doesn't respect one of them. How dare you ask me that question? Quit asking it. Yelled at her. Quit asking it. And then, of course, she had to, in her position, she said something to the effect of, well, I feel you, so let's talk about this win. And then he goes back to being somewhat more than subhuman. This is what guys like Nick Saban, who make a pile of cash, what is he, close to $8 million a year? $7.5, $8 million a year? He's got a pile of cash. He's won all the national championships. He's had success at LSU and Michigan State and now Alabama. He was a complete failure in the National Football League. Maybe this is making up for that. Because he failed in the NFL and he quit on his team in the middle of a season. He quit the Dolphins. After weeks, how many times did he berate the reporters down in South Beach? Nick Saban, we're hearing that you're going to take the job at Alabama. I'm not. Who's making up those rumors? How dare you? That's a lie. And then a week later, he's going to Alabama. It's not a lie. You have people around you who leak stories. This is Nick Saban's persona. He's been paid a pile of cash his whole life. He's got GMs and school presidents and athletic directors who do nothing but kiss his ass. And he feels like he can say anything to anybody at any time. This is what happens when you've never been told no. There's nobody in Nick Saban's life who will tell him no. There's nobody in Nick Saban's life who's going to tell him, you know what, Nick? You may want to dial it back a little bit because you look like a jerk. You know why people hate Alabama who are not fans of Alabama? One, because they win all the time. You always hate the team that wins all the time, right? It also has a lot to do with Nick Saban. I'm not saying he's got to be doing handstands and juggling for you after the game and telling you jokes and, you know, got a joy buzzer when he shakes your hand. But you don't have to be a total jerk all the time. When Nick Saban drives in to the practice facility in the morning and knows he's going to be dealing with the media, he's already got a mindset of, who can I berate today? Because I'll tell you what, those young reporters in the room, if they see me treat Maria Taylor like that, who's respected in the business, if those young reporters see the way that I treat Maria Taylor and the other top reporters, they won't ask me those tough questions. They'll stop asking. Because I'm Nick Saban.
Maybe. I think you and I both know as well as anybody that a lot of people who cover a university or a beat for a profession, there are enough people around there that are never going to ask a tough question.
It's correct. Always, we see it all the time.
Hey, Nick, what was your play call there on third and two? I really liked that where you had everything work out and scored a 60-yard touchdown. Are you going to call that more often?
Yeah.
There's never going to be a shortage of guys to sit there and kiss anyone's ass and ask a bunch of softball questions, especially when it's Nick Saban and he's arguably the greatest coach in college football history.
Sure.
So
I'm not saying he's not a good coach.
Oh, no. I get your point. I'm just saying that's most really successful people are. But
I'll take our local examples, okay? You can put out David Beatty if you want. He doesn't win a lot, so he's not in a position where he can act like that. But David Beatty's never said a cross word to a reporter that I can remember. Stands there and takes the heat. Bill Self, probably one of the best in the business at answering difficult questions or softballs, whatever it is. Bill Self's the best. He knows the PR game, and he does it better than anybody. Go over to K-State, Bill Snyder. Has Bill Snyder ever berated a reporter that you can remember? He can show you when he's irritated, sure. I've never heard Bill Snyder chew out somebody or tell somebody, how dare you ask that question? If I'm mistaken, okay, but I don't remember it. Bruce Weber? Yeah, he gets hot under the collar, but he never says anything personally to a reporter who asks a tough question. Mizzou? I don't hear their coaches berating reporters. Nick Saban, what he said to Maria Taylor was awful. He makes himself and his university look bad, but he doesn't care. You know why he doesn't care? Because he's Nick Saban. He makes a ton of money, and he wins a ton of games, and he wins a ton of championships. He doesn't care, and nobody's going to tell him. The AD, you think the AD is going to call in Nick Saban to his office and say, Nick, yeah, you may want to dial it back a little bit. We're partners with ESPN. Can you not berate Maria Taylor on national television, please? That conversation is never going to happen. It's just not. And maybe he's got that insecurity from his failure as the coach of the Miami Dolphins. Maybe that's it. He's wrapped in this little cocoon, and now he controls the world. His little part of it, anyway. So I had to get that off my chest. That really bothered me because Maria Taylor, like I said, ridiculously talented. She's a super nice person, and ESPN's got a star with her. And for Nick Saban to treat her like – it reminded me It reminded me a little bit of when Roy Williams was going through the coaching change at KU, and they lost that game at the NCAA tournament. And Bonnie Bernstein asked him, you know, what about the rumors that you're going to North Carolina? I know there's a producer in your ear telling you got to ask me that question, but I don't give a flip about North Carolina. I censored that because he said something else. First of all, that was insulting to Bonnie Bernstein to presume she needs a producer to tell her the most obvious question. And you just don't treat people like that. But Roy Williams knew he was leaving, and everybody's going to ask him about it. He knew he was leaving. But this Nick Saban, this happens every week. Almost every week with him. And it's unfortunate because Alabama's a great program. I'm no fan of Alabama, but it's a great program. All they do is win. It's just unfortunate that the guy running the ship is a total jerk. All right, so I got that rant out of the way. I got a couple of rants today. This is unusual for a Sunday. I mean, I got a good night's sleep. I'm well rested. I'm not irritated by anything personally, but sometimes things jump out and you just hit me the wrong way. And it was all over Twitter this morning, too, and people in general are standing up for Maria Taylor. And look, Maria Taylor doesn't need anybody to stand up for her. Not at all. I'm just saying the way he treated her was garbage. Nick Saban needs to grow up. He's never going to. He's never going to. That's fine. Keep winning. You're good. We're going to talk a little Chiefs football. We did not get to expand a lot on it in the first hour of the show. But the roster cuts came down yesterday. And they made a few roster moves as well. Mostly they're adding corners and safeties as fast as they possibly can after what they've seen in the preseason. And as I stated before, if you get cut in the National Football League, 98% of the time, you should not be surprised if you're a player. You should be able to deduce based on the number of snaps you're getting in games, the number of reps you're getting at practice, and then have an idea of what the team thinks of you. You can evaluate your own performance as well if you can criticize yourself in a good way and add that to the analysis, but you should have a pretty good idea based on snaps in the exhibition games and reps in practice that you're not going to make it or that you are going to make it. Yes, there's always a couple of surprises. There are veterans who get cut for salary reasons. That happens. For young players, though, in particular, it should not be a surprise. If you're a young player, if you're an undrafted free agent, if you're a late-round draft pick, if you're on your second or third team, but you've never taken a snap in the NFL, these cuts should not be a surprise. And I, in general, was not surprised by any of these cuts for the Kansas City Chiefs. You might say Jay Samaro, the tight end out of Texas Tech. He's been in the league a couple of years now and hasn't figured it out. I kind of thought Jay Samaro would make it, but I'm not surprised he got cut. Alex Ellis did make it. Demetrius Harris is suspended for the first game. I kind of thought Jay Samaro would make it, but I'm not surprised he got cut. How about Algernon Brown? Anybody shocked by that one? I was shocked when we were at training camp 3 or 4 weeks ago, Jed, and we were doing the show, and I was going through the roster. I didn't realize there was a second fullback on the
roster. I didn't
either.
I was shocked to find out about the existence of Algernon Brown.
Yes.
So I'm going to miss him. His time here in Kansas City was quite dear.
Yeah, after with Anthony Sherman, I was like, okay, do we need another fullback? Well, they had another fullback just in case.
Even Anthony Sherman, I mean, I know that he's a special teams contributor and he serves a purpose, but you're like, man, they use him like 4 times a year.
At fullback? Or are you talking about touching the ball?
He gets like one touch a year, but he blocks. Like in goal line situations, it's pretty limited as far as his usage.
So Algernon Brown, gone. If you want to be surprised by Jehu Chesson's cut, you can, but only because the Chiefs used a decent draft pick on him. That's the only reason to be surprised. His performance hasn't warranted a spot on the roster at all. He got beat out by better players. It's the way it goes. Rolling through some of the other cuts. Garrett Dieter, I'm not surprised. I thought he had an outside chance. He's a good special teams guy. He's allegedly, you know, buddy-buddy with Patrick Mahomes II because they had that good performance last year in the, you know, some of the games. So Derek Dieter, I thought, might hang around, but I'm not surprised he got cut. Not surprised. He'll get another shot with somebody else. Somebody will give him a look. He's a decent guy. He's tall. He's athletic.
I just love the breakdown. He's tall.
Well, I mean, he doesn't. What does he bring to the field that nobody else can bring? That's what I'm saying.
No, I hear you. He can probably cover kicks.
Other than allegedly, he's boozing buddies with Patrick Mahomes II. And they've got an apartment together, and they're hanging out playing video games. I don't know that that happens. I'm just saying. The impression given is that they're buddies, and that's fine.
Did you call him boozing buddies?
No, bosom buddies, like the old Tom Hanks, Peter Safari TV show.
Buddies,
yes,
not boozum.
Yeah,
so like, you need to work on your enunciation.
Well, I need to work on a lot of things. That's my kids make fun of me because I have a couple of speech things that I can't get right. Like, okay, when you play the game of pool, right, the bar game.
Yeah, shooting pool.
Yes. What do you call the balls on the table? What do you call them?
Pool balls.
Okay, so you stopped and enunciated. When I say it, because we've played a couple of times, we had some friends with a pool table, and I'll say, hey, so I think you lost one of the pool balls. And I drop the L just because that's what, and they make fun of me for
pool
that.
Balls?
Yeah. And I have a hard time saying, I have to think about it. Okay, I'll say it clearly because I'm thinking about it. Steelers. Because I have something in my head that doesn't like the word steal, so I go to still. I'll say the Steelers. I don't know why. I'm sure everybody listening really wants to know this, and it's fascinating. Continuing down the cuts list, purely because of his name, you kind of hope D-liner would have made a better impression as a defensive lineman. It's gone. Chase Litton, again, not surprised, but I kind of thought there would be a spot at him, either at number three, and maybe he slides through and gets to the practice squad. I think he showed well. He put some good stuff on tape. He's going to get a shot as a backup or a third stringer in this league, whether it's in Kansas City or with somebody else. He'll be a third stringer or a practice squad guy this season. So Chase Litton did a nice job. Undrafted, out of Marshall, big arm. Leon McQuay, he played a lot in the exhibition season because of the injuries in the defensive backfield. He played a lot. He also made a lot of mistakes. Jimmy Murray, not surprised. And some of these guys, you hardly even remember. Will Redman, you know, a couple of years ago, he was the guy that was supposed to have all the potential and just hasn't shown it. Arion Springs, okay, thought maybe an outside chance. Maybe try to slide him to the practice squad. I don't think he showed a whole lot, but I think they like his, quote, potential.
He's an undrafted guy.
He's
I could see that
guy.
Being
yeah.
one of those guys that they maybe would have hung on to just because of his cost effectiveness.
Right.
And essentially, when you sign an undrafted guy, you're betting on his, quote, upside.
Right.
But the Chiefs have so many bad corners. I'm like, why not? This guy's younger than some of them. Why not maybe keep him and see if you have a diamond in the rough?
He may end up on that practice squad at some point. Kerwin Williams, look, they had too many Williams in the backfield. He's going to play in the league, Kerwin Williams. Going to play in the league.
Yeah, I'm really sad that they let Will Williams go also. Running back. He's not a real person, Brad.
I know.
If you're looking down the list.
No. I know most of the Williams, and I did not recognize that one. Got that one pretty quick. Kerwin Williams, you know, just too many. You got caught up in the wash. Frank Zombo had to happen. I like Frank Zombo. He's a perfectly nice guy. He's a decent linebacker. Maybe let's say average. Frank Zombo is an average linebacker. Cost? Too much. Had to get some cap space back. So Frank Zombo, gone. Reserve injured list. Byron Pringle, K-State. And I was reading somebody's tweet this morning. Gosh, I'm going to forget who it was. That said they had a source tell him that had Pringle stayed healthy, he pulled up on that hamstring in the last game. Had he been healthy, he would have been on the 53. Byron Pringle, I don't know if I believe that or not. I thought of him as more as a developmental guy. I didn't see him making the 53. But I was kind of hoping he would end up on the practice squad. He's on reserve injured, is what they listed as. Find out what he's got. I mean, at K-State, he wasn't great. He wasn't something, I got to see this guy. I got to go to Manhattan and watch Byron Pringle. I liked him. He's a good receiver. But he's got what they like to call upside. He's athletic. He's fast. His hands are okay. They're okay. That's it. Jed's waving his hand. They're okay. The Chiefs can turn him into a guy, great. And then the only other roster move was Demetrius Harris has to be on the reserve suspended list. Got in trouble with the law. So if you're looking at the final roster, you know what? Maybe I was a little bit surprised that Khalil McKenzie made it, being a, what is it, sixth, seventh round pick?
I think he was a sixth round pick, but obviously they're transitioning from
offensive line,
yeah,
defense to offense. So maybe, but you don't want to cut him and have his dad sign him with the Raiders. I mean, God knows the Raiders are doing everything right. We haven't even talked about that one. We may do that in the next segment, what the Raiders are doing, which is hilarious. Oh, the Raiders. John Gruden, I'm going to love having you in the AFC West. Love it! On that note, we will take a timeout. More on the Chiefs, on who actually made the roster. And we'll look ahead to the game against the Chargers next weekend. You are listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That sounds very The Clash-like.
A band called Matt and Kim?
Matt and Kim. Elements of The Clash. Not totally The Clash, but certain elements. I think the voice.
Maybe.
Would make some sound
recording.
Like good stuff. All right. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hoping your day is going well so far. It's sunny outside in Kansas City. Hopefully it won't be as hot as yesterday. My goodness. Sitting out on the deck at the Bull in Lawrence doing the KU football pregame show, it was toasty is what I would call it.
It was really hot. I had some family over at my parents' house, and I was kicking around the soccer ball with one of my nephews. Not pleasant.
Well, I got home yesterday, and again, I'm sure you need to know this. This is stuff you need to know, like Sarin Petro does. Stuff you need to know. So I got home yesterday after the KU shows, and my dog wanted to go for a walk, and I'm like, if you can just hold on till the sun goes down, please. And she was getting antsy. I mean, she's half lab, half something. She's a pound puppy, about 55 pounds. And if she doesn't get her energy worked out, it can be trying. Let's put it that way.
See, dogs are a little like kids in my mind, because that's why I don't have either, because I'd ultimately be like, dude, can't you just walk yourself, figure it out?
That's why you got a cat. You just your cat just
chill.
Goes whatever and does anything.
Yeah, Marley just takes naps and hangs out like me.
No, my dog will come in and start getting a little, I call it stampy. She stamps her front paws, and then she'll come and you think she's going for the handshake, but she's kind of going for the punch a little bit. Like, come on, bro, let's go.
Hey, pay attention to me.
Take my rear end outside. I gots to go. So I was able to hold her off until the sun started going down, and It all worked out. So just to finish up, we went through the Chiefs roster cuts, who made the roster. No real surprises on there. I am laughing hysterically, as I think most people did yesterday on Twitter. The Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders with arguably a top three defensive lineman in the NFL. I don't know who you – I mean, pick Aaron Donald if you want. Khalil Mack. Exactly. So Khalil Mack, they've been allegedly working on a contract negotiation, but Reggie McKenzie, the GM, said, well, we presented him an offer early in the offseason. They didn't like it, so. So they trade him to the Chicago Bears. Matt Nagy, former Chiefs coordinator, is going to get Khalil Mack, although Nagy's an offensive guy, but got a couple of first-round picks. A couple of the picks going the other way. They also cut Martavius Bryant. They gave the Steelers a third-round pick for Martavius Bryant in April.
Martavius Bryant's really, really good, but
he's a head case.
Has some
I get it.
Baggage.
But they gave up a third-round pick in April for him. Gone. Cut. Then they went and signed. They gave up a fifth-round pick for A.J. McCarron? Really?
His girlfriend's coming along, too.
Oh, well, hey. You do what you got to do. I go back to what I said weeks ago, Jed, and you'll confirm this, I think. I said weeks ago, the Raiders have the look of an organization that is building to the arrival in Las Vegas. They could care less what happens during their remaining time in Oakland. Care less. Give us your money. You can buy the tickets. Come to our crappy stadium. We're building for Vegas. And by the time we get there, maybe Khalil Mack will be, you know, a couple of years older, and we'll be paying him a lot of money. Nah, we want the first-round picks. I think they're building to Vegas. Exactly what I think.
Well, I was a little bit more bullish on the Raiders coming into this season, but based off the disaster that it has become, I would like to reserve the right to change my mind. I ultimately thought they'd sign Khalil Mack, and I was more optimistic that John Gruden would be able to take Derek Carr and have him become a better player. But
right.
Based off everything that I've seen, I'm like, oh, God. Who's running that? Like, did Al Davis come back to life?
Oh, his son, who's whip smart. Mike Davis.
I mean, I thought
Brilliant guy.
I guess he's not. But I thought he was somewhat competent. But no, I'm finding out. No, apparently the apple does not fall far from the tree.
Al Davis won Super Bowls. His son hasn't done anything yet. We need a sarcasm alarm when we're, like, when I say Mike Davis is brilliant. Do I need a sarcasm alarm?
Maybe a little bit more so than me, because I'm sarcastic all the time.
I know that. So the Raiders, like I said, I am totally convinced that this is all about building for Las Vegas. They want to get in that new stadium. They want to have that fan base. They want to have all those fans rolling down from the casinos to watch the Raiders show in Vegas. I'm totally convinced of that. So good luck, Oakland Raiders. Good job, you know, giving John Gruden $100 million guaranteed. Hope you enjoy. We'll see you in Vegas. All right, coming up in the next hour at 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us and talk a little Sporting KC. Had a little bit of a slip last night, or I guess yesterday afternoon, out in Seattle, losing 3-1. Seattle's won 8 games in a row, so, you know, not a shock. And at 11:30, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will join us, and we'll talk about the Kansas football program and where it stands after the overtime loss to Nichols in the Week 1 opener. All right, we're going to get to this segment here a little bit earlier than we normally do. Normally we do this in the 11 o'clock hour, but we have our guests stacked up that way. So we've been doing this thing called Jedlines, where Jed Marshall, our producer, will pick out stories from, it could be sports, it could be entertainment, could be news, could be wild, crazy, strange stuff, or controversial stuff. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's never controversial.
No. I have no idea what these headlines are, so Jed will read them, and then I'll react to them. So go ahead, Jed. Take it away.
All right. Thanks, Brad. All right. First, Jedline. Did you see that Phillies reliever Austin Davis had a cheat sheet confiscated by umpire Joe West?
I saw that this morning.
What do you make of this? The fact that that players are using a cheat sheet to try and, you know, basically get to where the umpires are at.
I have 2 points about this, one for and one against, okay? So essentially what happened is the pitcher, what was the pitcher's name now that you crumpled up the story? It doesn't. So a pitcher for the Phillies has a note card in his back pocket. And basically it's a cheat sheet. Austin Davis. You can call it a cheat sheet. I call it a scouting report. So, like, let's say Eric Hosmer is coming up to the plate. Well, then the pitcher would pull the card out of his back pocket, look at it, refresh his memory, and pitch accordingly. Or maybe it says something else about, here's what your best pitches by this point in the game is, pitch count. I don't know. Whatever. You call it a cheat sheet, call it a scouting report. So the pitcher has it in his back pocket. Country Joe West, the umpire who rankles a lot of coaches and managers, said, walked out to the mound, took the card, and said, you can't have it. He said it falls under the baseball rule having to do with a foreign substance. I don't know what a note card. I don't know how that's a foreign substance. Normally that's pine tar or Vaseline or some kind of tacky substance, whatever. You can have a rosin bag, I guess, if the temperature, based on the temperature and weather. But he called the note card a foreign substance.
He said it's a foreign object.
Foreign object. Okay. So it's not an emery board. It's not a jeweler's wheel, which Al Fitzmaurice admitted to me using one time. So it's not a foreign object, but Joe West says, I'm not sure. I have to send this to New York, or I have to check with the umpiring officials in New York in Major League Baseball and find out. And their manager was upset about it, said we put in a lot of time and effort into our... My thing is, the players, the first game of every series, have these long meetings. The pitchers have a meeting. The catchers have a meeting. The hitters have a meeting. They go over the scouting reports in the dugout. They have those big, thick binders full of scouting reports. Any player can go over to the binder at any time and leaf through it and get the scouting report. Why do you need it on the field? Don't they have hand signals? If the manager wants to signal to the catcher, this is what we should be throwing here, can't they do that? Do you need a note card? I mean, use it. I have nothing against it. I just don't think you need it if you're smart enough. I don't know.
Maybe that guy isn't very smart.
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, a lot of baseball players, you know, leave out of high school and they talk about how it's just you don't have to grow up if you live in a clubhouse. So,
well, read the scouting report and then you don't need the note card. How about that?
I guess.
Okay.
All right, Brad. Next Jedline. Did you see that J.R. Smith is in the news? Guess what for?
I know he got in trouble, some kind of an altercation on the street. I don't think he punched anybody, but something happened on the street. Is he getting sued?
Smith was being investigated for allegedly stealing a cell phone from a person outside the park, a hotspot in Chelsea in New York City. Officials believe that Smith threw the cell phone into a nearby construction zone, damaging the item. Now we have learned that... Smith appeared at a New York Police Department station, and basically he is being charged with a misdemeanor and was issued a ticket because he appeared late for his court appearance. Brad, your thoughts? J.R. Smith.
Couldn't he just buy the guy a new cell phone and we drop the charges? I mean, does America's courts need this kind of case? I mean, it's damaged property. I get it.
Get J.R. Smith in the news?
Go get him a new cell phone. Go buy the guy a new cell phone. The thing is, when you go out in New York and you're an athlete or a celebrity, you are going to be filmed. TMZs of the world are everywhere. Fans are everywhere. You are going to be filmed on a cell phone camera.
If you ever go and look at TMZ's website, it says if you have tips or videos or whatever,
right, send it
to us here. So the fact that, yes, everybody does walk around with a camera.
Yeah. I mean, if I was a multi-million dollar athlete, I'd prefer not to be filmed. But that's the reality. And if you're in New York, yes. If you're in L.A., yes. In Kansas City, it probably doesn't happen that much. I don't know. A lot of snap photos. I'm not sure people are following people around, taking videos of Travis Kelce hanging out on the plaza or something. I don't know.
I don't ever see any of those guys.
Buy the guy a new phone. How about that? Be double. Just buy the guy a new phone.
All right, Brad. Next Jedline. Obviously, you saw Aaron Rodgers signed a new deal.
Yep.
Brett Favre has weighed in on it, saying that he's worth every penny of the deal because he's, quote, a top five player of all time. What do you think of Favre's statements?
Well, I would be curious as to where Brett Favre ranks himself, since Brett Favre is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right?
I crumpled the paper, Brad.
Okay. So, would Brett Favre say that Aaron Rodgers is better than he was? I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a top five all-time player yet. I mean, he's good, don't get me wrong. Top five all-time? That's a big ask. I'd have to think about it, but I don't know if I go top five all-time. Anyway, well, good for Brett Favre. I'm glad he's happy for him.
If he continues on his path, I think that Aaron Rodgers certainly could be a top five player of all time just with the value of what quarterbacks are.
Right.
It'll be hard to ever surpass Brady because he obviously just has all the Super Bowl championships.
Right.
If he gets
Montana,
a second one, I think that you can certainly begin to put him in the discussion.
Right. Manning, you got Montana. I mean,
Terry Bradshaw.
And he said top five players, not top five quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I'd have to think about that.
All right, well, next
Jedline. I'm glad he's happy, though.
Yeah, he is happy. You know, Brett Favre's a weird cat.
Out there in the field with his blue jeans on, throwing the football around. Yeah, Wranglers.
Always, man.
Throwing the football around.
With his dog. I didn't know the dogs had such good hands.
His dog and his razor blades and his knee brace that he advertised. All of it. Good stuff.
I guess. All right, Brad, next Jedline. Yasiel Puig is in the news lately. He has been hit by burglars in his San Bernardino neighborhood for the third time. Brad, what do you make of this?
I hope he has security cameras.
He does, but he has been burglarized for over $5,000 worth of jewelry. And actually, in the same neighborhood, rapper Wiz Khalifa and Christina Milian, who's just a beautiful woman, I don't know what she's famous for, though, their houses were both burglarized. So far, no arrests have been made. But what I find most troubling about this story is, you know how Tom Brady is like TB12 and Russell Wilson has that turd he's trying to push up the hill and Tiger Woods has the TW hat?
Right.
Apparently, Yasiel Puig now has a YP hat.
Good for Yasiel Puig. Now, see, I don't face this issue because I don't have $5,000 worth of jewelry. I've got like my high school graduation ring and I have one cheap necklace that I wear. That's about it. Hopefully all of these rich, famous people with thousands of dollars worth of jewelry have security cameras that function properly and take decent pictures. I mean, you're right. I consider myself, let's call myself an average person. You call yourself an average person, Jed?
Nope, better than most.
Okay. The average homeowner, let's put it that way, now they have the doorbell cameras now. The cameras on the back of the house. I mean, you can set it up fairly cheaply now, and it's high quality, high grade stuff. So, I'm glad I don't have $5,000 worth of jewelry.
Yeah, it'd be a nice problem to have, I guess. Mm-hmm. All right, Brad. Next Jedline. Michael Irvin is confused by Dez Bryant's plan, saying that he needs to sign right now. Michael Irvin said that he's perplexed by Dez Bryant's plan to wait until the season has begun to sign with the team, saying him he needs to sign ASAP. What do you make of this?
First of all, Michael Irvin is getting into a lot of other people's business a lot lately.
I feel like he's completely qualified to give life advice.
Yeah, sure. He had thoughts and opinions about Terrell Owens skipping the Hall of Fame, which is fine. Michael Irvin's a TV guy. I guess you have to have an opinion. Look, Dez Bryant, at this point, or I guess up until the cuts were made, a lot of teams are up against the cap. They're not going to offer him a decent deal. So I think it's the smart play for Dez Bryant. If you're in it for the money, you wait till after the cuts. Some of that cap space gets freed up. Now you can go get some of the money you want. You're not going to get all the money you want. But you can get some of it. Remember he showed up in the Hard Knocks Cleveland Browns office? I'm here. I'm here to work out.
Yeah, he pulled the old Breland, or Bashaud Breland. Yeah. I always want to call him Breland Speaks.
Well, it's easy to get him confused.
I guess so.
I think Dez Bryant. Right, good move. Wait for the money.
I guess so. I don't think, as I was joking earlier, that Michael Irvin's really the person that you want to be taking life advice from. I mean, he is a Hall of Famer, but he's had his own issues. Let's say. Yeah, foibles. I like that. Very good. All right, Brad, next Jedline. Do you know who Camille Kostick is?
Camille Kostick?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say that I do.
Well, if you need to, there's a Google machine right there.
Okay.
She is Rob Gronkowski's girlfriend.
Ooh.
And
okay.
She basically came out after Jalen Ramsey went on his little diatribe calling everybody out and says that, hey, Rob Gronkowski is better than you and hotter than you. What do you make of this, Brad?
Well, since they play different positions.
No, better. And better looking.
Better looking. You know what? If I've got a hot girlfriend and she tells me I'm great looking and she'll publicly go tell some other player you're not, I'm down with that.
I want that broad with me, yeah.
Broad, wow. It's 1937 all over again in here. At Jed Row 24.
All right, sticking with the NFL, Brad. Next Jed line. Did you see that Michael Kendricks was cut by the Browns after insider trading charges?
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
So the NFL has to draw some lines somewhere, okay? And I'm not sure what his skill level is. Look, if you get caught smoking some weed, you're going to get one game, couple of games. If you do it again, you're going to get more. If you get test positive for steroids, you're going to get four games on the first one. Domestic battery might get a few games. Gun violence might get a few games. If you kill somebody while you're drunk driving, you get a few games. Leonard Little, St. Louis Rams. When
Dante Stallworth also.
Yeah. If you kill somebody, get a few games, then you can come back and play. But by God, if you're using insider trading to make money.
Out.
You are gone. And this is not an NFL issue. This is the Cleveland Browns who cut him. The NFL didn't step in here, so perhaps I'm being unfair. But teams have their suspensions, too. If you're insider trading, if you're going to Wall Street, if you've got some buddies on Wall Street, they're giving you information, you're getting investment advice, and you're making money off of it, you're out. That doesn't fit the image of the National Football League.
Got to protect that shield like Herm says.
Protect the shield. Cleveland Browns got to stand up to somebody, right? I mean, they've got the receiver coming back from...
Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon from how many suspensions? But you draw the line. At insider trading, that's too far. That's a bridge too far.
I guess so. All right, Brad, next headline. Martellus Bennett is in the news. Obviously, he's been in the news a lot, but not for what you think. The 6'6", 275 Super Bowl champion was shown running around with a broomstick in a Quidditch match. What do you make of this, Brad? The ex-NFL star teamed up with the Los Angeles Gambits to play the, quote, Harry Potter sport for the new show, Mostly Football, which is going to air on Yahoo Sports. So he's playing Quidditch and apparently quite good at it.
Well, I don't know much about Quidditch because I've not read the Harry Potter books. It's just not my thing. My kids have read them, so they know what Quidditch is. Good for him. If he likes it, if he's having fun, good. Go to a story, do a TV show. I think KU has a tournament every year, a Quidditch tournament or something for the students.
I think so. I think they do a Quidditch night out at the T-Bones, who are our great partners with us here at A10.
It doesn't appeal to me, but good for you. If that's what Martellus Bennett wants to do in his retirement career, play a little Quidditch, good for him. Go get it.
All right, Brad, next headline. Greg Lloyd, former NFL star, was in the news. He is arrested after allegedly, threatening his wife with a gun, but yet he denies the allegations. He was arrested in Georgia after pulling a gun on his wife during a domestic dispute. But Greg Lloyd apparently denies all of this, saying that, let's see, where is the quote? I can't find it. But yeah, this is awful stuff. What do you make of this, Brad? All of these ex-NFL players getting in domestic disputes and having guns and just things going haywire.
It's a lot of guys. Lie. It's probably not fair to comment until the there's two people that know what happened. Two people were in the room, and they each have given a different story. So, I don't know. Figure it out. Gunplay is not the best thing in a relationship, but. I don't know.
Not very good. All right, we're going to transition to the NBA next headline here, Brad. Do you know who Gloria Govan is?
No.
She was arrested for child endangerment. Wives star, who is the ex-wife of Matt Barnes and currently engaged to Derek Fisher, was arrested 5 minutes before her kids got out of school. Basically, she got the children into her car, and that's when Matt, whose weekend it was to have the kids, showed up. And basically, this lady flew into a rage, tried to follow Matt's car after picking up his kids, and was screaming and cussing. She was arrested and was actually, as of 6 a.m., released on $100,000 bail. What do you make of this?
Wow, 100 grand.
I mean, she's the ex-wife of an NBA player and engaged to another NBA player.
All right. Derek Fisher's retired, right?
Yeah, he's a weird guy too.
Yeah, and I just blanked. Barnes is a bit strange, but if it's your weekend, it's your weekend. This doesn't strike me like everybody in this story is well balanced. But he was picking up his kids, like he's legally entitled to do, and she flew into a rage. I take care of it.
All right, Brad, last one because we're running short on time. We go to the world of Major League Baseball.
Oh, great.
Did you see that the San Diego Padres had to stop a beach hat promotion after grain beetles were discovered?
Yeah. Apparently they're some kind of microscopic beetles.
Yeah, and they were discovered on Saturday night after experts found them in these hats that they were giving away. Ushers at Petco Park walked through the stadium and asked fans to drop their hats into plastic bags, according to the San Diego Union Tribune. It's also reported that the hats are going to be shipped back to where they were produced. What do you make of this, Brad? Have you ever had grain beetles? in your hat?
Not that I know of, but they were straw hats, so I could see them being a nesting place for whatever these beetles are. I don't claim to know anything about these beetles, but
no.
How embarrassing for the Padres. After they handed them out, then they had to go through the stadium and collect them and probably burn them, I would guess.
Yeah, not a great idea. We have a lot more Jedlines, but we're out of time, so we'll save those for another
Lord,
time.
Lord, Padres, get your act together, for crying out loud. I'm trying to... Like Frank Costanza on Seinfeld, I will not tolerate infestation! Padres won't tolerate infestation. All right, coming up on a timeout, you're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We were young, so still consider myself a youngster. A little bit older, but I'm a youngster at heart.
Nope.
I can be a youngster. Young at heart. I realize my limitations. I don't play a lot of sports much other than occasionally play golf, but I know if I go out and try to play soccer or like an adult league, I'm going to tear my ACL. That's exactly what will happen. I'll go running, play a little golf, but I know my limitations. Back on Sports Sunday, final segment of the hour before we get to Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com in the next hour and Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. I did see a headline that one of our fans in Kansas City, you were talking about Jalen Ramsey in the last segment, and Rob Gronkowski's girlfriend said that Rob is better looking than Jalen Ramsey.
It was really just an excuse to mention her more than anything.
Okay. Jalen Ramsey came out this week, too, and said with a little practice, he could play professional hockey in the NHL.
Who said that?
Jalen Ramsey.
Sure he could.
The backlash from the hockey fan community has been enormous. I always love this when guys are play professional sports. You know, with a little bit of work, I could go play that other sport. Like Ocho Cinco.
Look at Tim Tebow, Brad. Anything is possible. He's an all-star.
Is he in the major leagues? They all think they
can
play at the top
level.
Closer than you,
smart guy.
But he thinks he can play at the major league level. Or maybe not. Maybe he just likes playing ball. But I like Ocho Cinco, when he retired, I'm going to go play professional soccer. He tried out for Sporting Kansas City. I had to drag my rear end down there and cover that you-know-what show. Every network in the world wanted video of Chad Ocho Cinco out at soccer practice with Sporting KC. No! And the same people who like soccer, well, the United States isn't good enough soccer. If only we got people like LeBron James to play soccer, we'd dominate. No!
Be a good goalie.
He probably would. They're good at their sports for a reason. Not going to go play another professional sport. You can go retire and play the celebrity golf tour. You can do that. It's always fun. Anyway, we are out of time for this hour. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards, NBCSports.com. He's going to join us, talk Sporting KC. Put a little bit of a slip on the banana peel yesterday in Seattle. And then at 11:30, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star talking about KU football and, well, stumbling right out of the gate. All right. Time out. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. And we were bound to a city
line. Fast lights when we fall into the... This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.